You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 458 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine Wednesday evening, very late Wednesday evening now, I guess almost basically, you know, it's basically Thursday morning, so let's just say that it's Thursday morning at this point in time. I normally record after home games, at the arena, but with the home opener bringing all kinds of festivities, including a post-game concert, I am recording a little bit later than normal, and I am back in my home studio, so just that will explain the lack of background noise. Hopefully, actually, the audio quality is definitely better at home than it would be in the arena, but there is also something to having that live experience. So I guess you guys can weigh in on what's better there. But here we are to talk about what the Hawks were able to accomplish on Wednesday evening. They got a victory by the final score of 111-104 over the Mavericks. If I simply told you that, it would not have been an utterly shocking result, considering the fact that the Hawks were only about a 1.5-point underdog in Las Vegas in this game. They were playing at home. Dallas is not exactly a team that's projected to make the playoffs this season in the Western Conference. It's definitely a spot where the Hawks are certainly capable of winning at home. But then if I told you that the Hawks were going to be trailing by a score of 51-25 in the first half, I would have told you that it was very, very unlikely that the Hawks would come back and win this game, but they did just that, overcoming that 26-point deficit on the way to a 7-point victory, and it was certainly as wild as that swing would suggest that it was. So, you know, obviously, this is not a podcast that's going to be dedicated to much in the way of non-basketball stuff, but I will say before we start that the arena looks fantastic. State Farm Arena, as you know, it was the formal opening on Wednesday. You could definitely tell that some of the stuff is not quite ready to go yet at State Farm Arena around the edges, but the big parts are done. It looks great. The sight lines are great. The suites, I did a little bit of sort of a self-guided tour before the game, got down there a little bit early and walked around the building. It looks fantastic. The sight lines, I guess I mentioned before, are very, very good. The lighting is very good. It's definitely sort of night and day when it comes to the experience being in the building that it was previously. The media stuff's very nice as well, and you know, everything looks good. The scoreboard is enormous and all that fun stuff, so I definitely enjoyed my experience there. I think fans will like it quite a bit. There are more options for fans, etc., etc., so I wanted to at least say that at the top of this thing is the new building was definitely the main attraction in the opener before the game actually took place, and then of course the game did not fail to, I guess, live up to expectations. It's one of those things where it was certainly not a pretty game from start to finish, but the ending was a lot of fun. It was a back and forth game in the fourth quarter, and that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. So as is customary here, every single time we do a game breakdown on the podcast, I'll do some big picture stuff, some game flow stuff, and then we'll break down the players individually after that. So we'll start here at the top. The Hawks got into the big deficit early on, mostly because of defense, honestly. There was a 16-6 run, from the Mavericks to start this game off. They had 19 points in the first 4 minutes of this game. The Hawks were down 13 almost immediately. You know, they actually went with Luka Doncic was not great in this game, but he had 12 points in the first 6 minutes to sort of key things for Dallas. Then the Mavericks were up by a score of 42-22 at the end of the first quarter. The Hawks actually put 11 guys in that first half. Really, in the first 9 minutes of this game, the Hawks put an 11-man rotation that was very noteworthy to me. And we'll talk more about that later. But a 9-1 run at the end of the first quarter for Dallas to take a 20-point lead. And at the end of the first quarter, Atlanta's defensive rating was 156.1, which is impossibly bad, frankly. Obviously, the 42 points speak for themselves at the end of the first quarter, but the defense was just terrible. And everyone after the game, both from Lloyd Pierce all the way down to the players, talked about how that first quarter was just basically unacceptable, and there was no qualms about that. I think everybody sort of recognized that, and then, of course, they buckled in from there, pretty much standing things on its head with a 16-point defensive second quarter to obviously be basically the stark opposite of the first quarter. The Hawks used DeAndre Bembry at backup point guard in the second quarter, and really a lot in the second half, and we'll talk about that more later. There was a jarring stretch in the early portion of the second quarter where Trae Young he got an awful, awful call against him on a push-off that was a phantom foul. They picked up his third foul as well. He only played 9 minutes in the first half as a result of that foul trouble. Pierce, after the game, talked about the fact that he just never got rhythm as a result of his foul trouble and just, you know, spotty deployment. They didn't play him a lot of minutes until the fourth quarter. He ended up in the box score with 26 minutes, so it didn't look that crazy. But basically all that was responsible for foul trouble, and it was a lot of stop and go stuff for Trae Young. So that was a rough stretch. But part of that was that he was not great in the first half. All told, the Hawks eventually got down, as I mentioned before on the podcast, by a 51-25 margin midway through the second quarter. At that point, it seemed to be over. Honestly, by all intents and purposes, I was talking about that offline and online. Just kind of, it felt like this is going to be a blowout loss, you know. But credit to the Hawks, absolutely, for coming back from the dead there, at least what appeared to be the dead there, down 26. There was an 11-0 run after a timeout from the Hawks to sort of ignite things. Torian Prince hit a three, a lob dunk from DeAndre Bembry, and then four straight points from Kent Bazemore, who was fantastic in this game. During that run, unfortunately, Alex Poitras was helped to the locker room. He actually did not return. Lloyd Pierce talked about this after the game, but Poitras apparently has a hyperextended knee. That's at least the report at this point in time. He'll have an MRI actually on Thursday, so we'll pass that along, the information on that when we have it. But Poitras did not come back, and that was a pretty immediate announcement from the Hawks, so I would not be surprised if he was out of action for a little bit of time. It didn't look great. Didn't hear much more beyond that, except for the fact that Pierce just said that he was told that it was hyperextended. So we'll keep an eye on that in the future, but that happened during that run, so I want to pass that along. It was part of my notes there. The Hawks then kept sort of chipping away at that lead. They went from 26 to 15 in a hurry, and then from there the Hawks sort of kept hammering, got it down to 10 at the half. There was vastly improved defense in that section of time, and some great shot making from Kent Bazemore, which was a theme throughout the night. Baze had 17 in the first half, and that was huge considering how ugly the rest of the team performed in that first half. For the most part, there were guys who weren't quite as bad, but at one point, mid second quarter, I tweeted that aside from Bazemore, it's basically nothing else that was going well for the Hawks, and I kind of mean that. By the end of the game, obviously, there were some guys who I thought played better, but it was one of those things where Bazemore was very, very key in that first half, and he helped the Hawks to keep things within striking distance. In the third quarter, it was all Hawks, at least early on. There was an 11-2 run for Atlanta to get within 1 point at 60-59. Trae Young banked in a three for what at that point in time was the biggest crowd pop of the evening. It was kind of funny. It was almost one of those, it was celebratory, but also almost like an exhale as Trae. It was actually Trae's, I believe it was his first bucket of the night. There was some free throws before that, but it was either his first or second bucket of the night, and the bank was open, and then Kent Bazemore had a three after a timeout to get back within one. It was a 34-9 overall run by the Hawks to cut the lead from 26-1. And then from there, though, Dallas did push things back up to 10. They were up 75-65 at one point in time, and Dallas was actually still in control of this game, at least in my opinion, until about midway through the fourth quarter when things kind of flipped. But it did seem at one point as if that comeback bid was going to come up short. Dallas had pushed back, and the Hawks never quite got over the hump. They'd only gotten within one. They never actually took the lead until late in the fourth quarter. But when they actually did that, it was very important. Torian Prince had five quick points once the Hawks got down by 10. As I mentioned before, in the fourth quarter, Young came back in with about 6 minutes to go. And at that point, he was actually a minus 17 in the game, and he finished with minus 6. So they were plus 11 in the final, 5.5, 6 minutes of this game, helped in part by a strong play from Young. The Hawks, you sort of play by play here. Wes Matthews hit a three to give Dallas the lead back in the final minutes, but then from there it was pretty much all Hawks. There was a pretty left-handed finish from Trae Young. He had another absolutely fantastic drive and finish to give the Hawks the lead back shortly thereafter, and they never lost it from there. That was sort of the highlight of the night. Trae kind of just doing Trae things off the dribble, making a really nice play there. And I'm sure you saw the play by now if you were anywhere on social media or if you were reading PeachtreeHoops.com. I featured that in the recap quickly. So there was a lot. That play was fantastic. By the time we got to crunch time, Bazemore was being Bazemore. He gave the Hawks the lead again with about 2 minutes to go. There was some good stops in that stretch from the Hawks, and then Bazemore was sort of the dagger with a hammer dunk in the middle of the lane. He was actually asked about that after the game, sort of the Red Sea part for him. He mentioned that as well, and kind of said it was the easiest thing he could possibly imagine since like high school. Baze just kind of had the lane clear for him, took two dribbles and hammer dunked in the lane. They go up by four with about a minute left, and then after a foul of DeAndre Jordan, he missed some free throws, and then Trae Young made 3 out of 4 and kind of put the game away, and Dallas never really was able to get back into this thing as the eventual margin of 111-104 came to fruition. So I know that's a lot to take in, but this is a game where it's back and forth, and sometimes the games are pretty easy to explain. And this one, not so much, but the Hawks were able to pull things out. We'll talk about guys individually in a second, but at the end of this game, it's pretty jarring. I mentioned before the defensive rating in that first quarter and how bad the defense was in that first quarter. The Hawks ended this game with a 96.2 defensive rating, which is like uber elite. It's pretty crazy to think about how bad Dallas's offense was after that, which is at least part of this, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But Atlanta's defense was much improved. A lot of that can be key to just better focus, but the presence of Dwayne Dedmon really helped things. Bembry played a lot of minutes. He was one of the better defenders on the team tonight. Bazemore, even Torian Prince keyed in at times defensively. There was some very, very strong, Kevin Huerter was very good defensively in this game. So there was a lot to like about that after the first quarter, and really the last three quarters, the Hawks were just fantastic defensively, which is kind of crazy to say given the way that everything else transpired. Offensively, nothing terribly exciting to report. I mean, obviously, Bazemore was very, very good, and Prince made a lot of shots and was key in pushing through that run. But the Hawks, a 102.7 offensive rating. They did make 40% of their threes, 15 of 38. One of the funnier moments of the post-game press conference was Lloyd Pierce being asked about the team's three-point attempts, and he actually mentioned, I think, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but also serious. Pierce said that he wanted the team to take 50, and that he was actually disappointed by 38 three-point attempts. That might seem crazy, but I think he actually means it. They want to take a lot of threes. They took 47 the other night. He wants to get a lot of threes up, something he's been saying for a long time, and I like that approach, frankly. I know a lot of old-school people won't like that, but that's the way the Hawks probably need to play at this point offensively. But 15 of 38, nothing to scoff at there, about 40% clip from three-point range, and that was a key in helping the Hawks get to the victory here. 15 turnovers is not terrible for Atlanta, and 28 assists is pretty solid as well. So at the end of the day, the offensive rating was not great. 102.7 is obviously below average, but and the Hawks won't win too many games doing that, but you know, it worked out in this spot because the defense did clamp down, and that was very, very helpful. So other themes at the end of the game, you know, Pierce definitely praised Dwayne Dedmon's performance. He talked in glowing terms about Bazemore, which is, you know, for obvious reasons, Bazemore is fantastic in this game. We'll talk more about that later. I will say, before we get to the individual stuff, Dallas did Atlanta some favors in this game. I don't want to take anything away from the Hawks in this spot, because the Hawks, you know, were very resilient. That's a word that Bazemore used after the game as well, and talking to the media. But, you know, this is a very impressive comeback win for the Hawks in a lot of ways. With that said, Dallas really, really helped them. After that first quarter, they really kind of melted down. Doncic was not great after the first quarter. Wes Matthews, I know he had 23 points in the box score, but he was minus 14 for a reason. He had some really, really bad moments in the second half of this game, kind of helping the Hawks stick around. And Dallas, you know, on paper right now, especially without Harrison Barnes, who isn't great, but is still one of their better players, this is not a team that is very impressive talent-wise. J.J. Barea had been pretty good previously for Dallas, but was really bad in this game. He was 1 of 10 from the floor, did have 9 assists, but this is a team in Dallas that did not play well. In the first quarter, they definitely took advantage of what the Hawks were giving them defensively. But after that, Dallas, again, did a lot of favors for Atlanta, and that has to be noted. And, you know, it takes two to tango when overcoming a 26-point deficit in three quarters of basketball, actually about two and a half quarters of basketball. And the Hawks did play very well, credit to them to be sure, but Dallas allowed the Hawks to get back in this thing when they probably had no business doing so, and from there, the Hawks did the rest. So we're going to at least say that and sort of set the table that way. Before we get to the individual players in this spot, I do want to take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. Everyone that's already done that, I really appreciate everyone doing that. Please feel free to unsubscribe and then resubscribe. That can definitely help as well. But please leave 5-star feedback. Check us out on multiple platforms if you want to do that, just to help the show. It really helps us to grow the podcast. Also, tell your friends. If you have a Hawks fan friend or two or three, someone you go to games with or talk about the Hawks with that's not already listening to the podcast, please share the pod. I really appreciate everyone that's already done that, as well as the fact that I am writing regularly, and we have a great staff over at Peachtree Hoops that I want to plug as well. Please check that out. That's my written content for the Hawks, and it's SB Nation's Hawks home, but we have great content from Jeff Siegel and Graham Chappell and the Willis brothers and all these guys who do fantastic work. Sam Meredith, Rashad Milligan, I can name people all day long, but I obviously am biased, but I think it's the best Hawks coverage on the internet that you can get, so please check that out at PeachtreeHoops.com, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. Check all of that out, and I really appreciate it. So we can get to the individual players in this game. We'll start with the backups, actually, because it's usually a little bit probably the best place to start and make you guys hold on for the starters until the end. The guy who played the fewest minutes in this game was Poitras. I mentioned him before. He left this game with the injury. Didn't have much to take away there. Only 6 minutes of play, 1 point, one rebound. I actually thought we might see more Poitras early in this game. The Hawks went with Amari Spellman for their first backup power forward minutes, which was a surprise to me. I think Poitras is probably better suited in that role. We'll talk about that more when we talk about Spellman. But Poitras both wrists pretty inconsequential, and I hope the injury is not bad. It didn't look great, but it's a knee that can sometimes be bothersome. And of course, he's on the two-way contract, so we'll see how they handle that in the future and how bad that injury is when we know more. Elsewhere on the bench, Jeremy Lin, only 10 minutes of play, 3 points, 2 assists, did make a big three in the second half. That was a very valuable shot for the Hawks, but I thought Lin was pretty anonymous. He's not looked good, frankly. I thought he might be turning the corner late in the preseason. I think I'm wrong about that at this point in time. He's not looked good in his minutes. I know there is an argument out there from Lin fans that he's not been playing enough, and that kind of can contribute to the lack of rhythm that he has, but he just looks rusty. He looks slow. Especially defensively, Lin's always been a good effort guy. He just does not look very tenacious defensively right now, and offensively just isn't being overly assertive. It was good to see him shoot that shot with confidence, the one that he made that was a big shot. But other than that, just not a lot of positivity to be said there. I know Nate Duncan, good friend of the program, talks about how he's still baffled by that contract and all that fun stuff. I'm kind of with him in that camp, but I think the Hawks will get more from Lin as the season goes along. But for right now, he's sort of in spot duty, and actually the Hawks definitely played Bembry a lot at backup point guard, and I couldn't argue with that considering the way that Bembry played in this game. So Lin gives you a different dynamic offensively. He's definitely more of a caretaker type of more traditional point guard than Bembry is, obviously, at this point. But defensively, to ratchet it up, Lin is now, at least at this moment in time, probably a liability defensively. Normally that's not the case, but at least in the early going of this season, he's not looked great there, and that kind of helps to sort of mitigate his impact in terms of what he can add positively. So we'll keep an eye on that, but I had no problem with him not playing all that much in this game, and that is sort of the end of that. Kevin Huerter, I thought, was fantastic defensively, by his standards especially, but just in general, I thought he was very good defensively. 18 minutes, three points, four rebounds, and an assist. Did have two turnovers, one of which was bad, but Huerter played pretty well. Didn't make a three, only took one. It was a corner three that I actually thought he made off the hand, but I thought Huerter was good. I mean, it wasn't a situation where he added all that much offensively, but the fact that the Hawks were able to go to him with comfort as a rookie in a spot where this was definitely very tense in this game, and he was able to defend at a high level. He was able to give some good bench minutes in the second half, and again, I can't talk well enough about his defense in this game. Like, I don't think Huerter's ever going to be a stopper defensively, but the fact that he's already been able to sort of execute stuff as a rookie is very encouraging. And he is long, he is aggressive, he is athletic, and I was impressed by the way that he played on the end of the floor in this game. Amari Spellman, 16 minutes of play, 4 points, five rebounds, and a turnover. I thought he actually, it was kind of funny. I thought he played better in the second half, even though he didn't. He did less on the stat sheet in the second half when he played. In the first half, when I put out the aforementioned call for who actually played well in the first half, people were telling me that Spellman played well. I thought he was really, really, really bad defensively in that first half. Part of that's him playing the four, where he shouldn't be playing. And I understand that right now the Hawks have two healthy centers in Lennon Dedmon, and that kind of puts them in a bad spot because they don't really have a lot at the four. But for me, Spellman is not going to be great there. He did play some fourth quarter minutes at center when they were playing this weird lineup with Bembry at the point guard spot. He actually looked pretty solid there. It was a very small sample, but I think Spellman is much better at center than a power forward at this point in time, but I thought he actually gave good minutes in the second half. He wasn't great and didn't play a whole lot as a result of that, but I do think that he was not exactly put in the greatest position to succeed in that first half, and I thought he played better after that when he was playing center, where he probably should be playing at least more often than not right now. Dwayne Dedmon came back in this game, made his season debut. It was expected, and ended up happening. Three points, five rebounds, two assists, and a block for Dedmon in 14 minutes. He actually was a little bit shy. Pierce joked after the game that he was about 48 seconds short of what he was expected to be. They were expecting him to play 15 minutes. He only got to about 14:10 or something like that in this game. Dedmon was joking about that after the fact in the locker room. But I thought he really added a nice dimension, especially defensively. Dedmon's just a better, more versatile defender than Alex Lynn. I do like Alex Lynn. We'll talk about him more later in this game. He was not very good in this spot, I didn't think, but I do like him as a player. But Dedmon's just better defensively, especially with the way the Hawks were able to sort of flip the script defensively and play more aggressively, switch more often. Dedmon's just more versatile than Lynn. When Lynn plays, you have to play drop defense. He's just that traditional, rim-protecting center, and there's some value in that, but Dedmon is definitely better in the floor game defensively. And he didn't look fantastic in this game, which is to be expected. He hasn't played in a basketball game in a long, long time. Missed all preseason, missed all of training camp, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought Dedmon added some very nice minutes. And Pierce said he wasn't sure he could play any more than that. I think it'll be interesting to see how they ramp him up in the future. 2 days off before Saturday, we'll see how much he plays on Saturday. But it was a reminder that Dwayne Dedmon is pretty good at basketball. We saw that on full display in this game. Finally on the bench, DeAndre Bembry was basically a starter in this game, but 30 minutes of play for Bembry, 11 points, 16 rebounds. Yes, 16 rebounds for DeAndre Bembry, a tie for the game high with DeAndre Jordan, who's, of course, a legendary rebounder. A pretty crazy performance there from Bembry, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was very, very, very good in this game. Early on, not necessarily. There was a couple of ugly moments where he had some bad at least one bad turnover and a couple of other careless plays where he probably could have been given turnovers, but I thought Bembry was so good in the floor game, especially in the second half. The rebounding is a little bit fluky. I'm not sure if 16 rebounds is something you have to count on from DeAndre Bembry moving forward, but the assists are real. He played a lot of point guard in the second half, especially. I thought he played very well. You know, 4 of 11 from the floor is nothing to be terribly excited about, but he had a nice confident three that he made in this game. Wasn't shy at all, and defensively, Pierce lauded him after the game for his performance on the end of the floor. I would certainly agree. He's versatile on the end of the floor. He's very good. Can kind of guard 1 through 3, even some fours if he had to do that. He probably would be able to hold up, especially against Dallas, who was playing some small ball in this game. I thought Bembry was just very, very good, and I continue to like his game. I always have. The shooting has been a nice revelation this year, not on huge samples, but he just looks more confident shooting the basketball, and if that is real combined with all of his floor game that he has, there's always some handle problems. I think early in the season he's definitely still careless with the ball at times, but Bembry is just so versatile and talented, and he does a lot of little things that help you win, and I like that about him, to be sure. So 11, 16, and 5 is not a number, is not a stat line that you'll see often from Bembry, but I thought he was just fantastic, and that kind of tells the story of his play. By the way, they were plus 12 in 30 minutes that he played in this game in a 7-point win, so that tells the story that he was on the floor for a lot of that positivity in this spot. To the starting lineup, Alex Len was the guy who I thought played poorly out of the five here. 7 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and did have 3 blocks, was plus 1 in 28 minutes. 3 of 10 from the floor is ugly for Alex Len. I thought he was a little bit better in the second half too, much like most people were on the Hawks roster. He had a really ugly first quarter. There were a couple of really bad sort of ball handling, finishing around the rim issues from Len. He was not alone by any stretch of the imagination, as I think you guys probably get the gist here about the first quarter and a half of this game, but I did think that Len had some nice moments in the second half. You know, as I mentioned before, he's definitely more of a drop center, and this is not the greatest game for that kind of player. Dedmon was better in his small minutes, but Len didn't kill them necessarily either, and I continue to like that contract quite a bit that the Hawks gave him, so some nice minutes there. Well, I do think that Dedmon's the better player, and he should be starting in the near future once he's ready to do that, but Len is definitely, you know, I would think a high-end backup, and there's real value in that from a player who is still pretty young and has some room to grow. Also, he made a very nice corner three that was important at a time where the Hawks definitely needed it, which should be noted as well. Elsewhere in the starting five, Vince Carter had some nice minutes in this game. I thought defensively in the first quarter, he was part of the problem, a big part of the problem, I would imagine. And that's not new. Vince's defensive foibles, I don't want to talk too much about that on every single podcast, but it's a problem for him a lot of the time. But this was a good matchup for him, and then the Mavs played a lot of small ball with like Dorian Finney-Smith in the lineup, and Finney-Smith is not a good offensive player, so that allowed Vince to kind of hide on him a little bit. They didn't have a whole lot of firepower off the bench, so it was a good spot for him to kind of take advantage of that and sort of, you know, be the old man game, hit a couple of big threes, one from the top of the key that I'm envisioning in my head right now that was a big shot in the second quarter. 6 points, 5 rebounds for Vince. He was just fine. I do think that the Hawks need to be playing him less once they get everybody healthy, and I actually asked before this game if Pierce had any plans at all to play Dedmon and Alex Len together. He kind of shrugged that off as a no, which isn't a surprise. You know, in a vacuum, I would not be playing those guys together, but right now with sort of the dire situation at the four, I probably might try that together. This was not the spot to do it because Dallas does play small a lot of the time, but if the Hawks see a team that plays a little bit more traditionally, I wouldn't mind seeing Dedmon and Len, but I don't think it's going to happen considering the way that Pierce talked about that. But Vince, at least at the moment, it's going to be playing real minutes in most games, and we'll see how he handles that. But this was definitely one of his better performances of the first, you know, handful of games. Elsewhere, Torian Prince, 34 minutes, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He fouled out in 34 minutes. He still managed to lead the team in minutes despite falling out, which is kind of strange. But 8 of 15 from the floor, 5 of 9 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. I didn't think Torian played all that well in the floor game, especially in about the first quarter, you know, probably two and a half quarters, but made a ton of big shots in this game. It just felt like every single time that he made a shot, it was a big one. Momentum swingers, he had a couple of nice little short spurts on his own. And, you know, I tweeted this during the game, but his shot creation ability is just something that I never thought was going to be happening from Torian Prince. So I was definitely wrong about that. He's better in that way than I ever thought he was going to be. And we saw that on full display here. You know, a very efficient game from Torian offensively. Defensively, there were some issues, but a couple of really nice passes in the first half. I think that's kind of, it's been kind of funny, you know, some of the national people that were watching this game more closely than you might imagine, because it was an ESPN game, we're talking about how he's such a good passer. I wouldn't say that at this point in time. Prince is a vastly improved passer, which should be said. I think that's not a strength of his just yet, but he did have some very nice high-level passes in this game, and if that keeps coming, that'd be very encouraging for him, considering all the time that he has the ball in his hands. I would love it if Taurean was a good passer, and I'm not quite there yet, but there were some nice looks for him in this game. And again, the shot making was just very, very important and very valuable from Taurean Prince. Next and second to last on the agenda is Trae Young. 17 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 5 turnovers for Young. Had 4 fouls, 26 minutes, 3 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, and 10 of 13 from the line. Lloyd Pierce lauded his ability to get to the line, and I would second that. He got to the line a lot in this game. 13 attempts, led the game on either side, and I thought that was pretty encouraging, especially because I thought he got in his own head a little bit in the first half, but the fact that he was able to play through contact quite a bit in the second half, draw some fouls, not show any fear whatsoever that fourth quarter of a close game. I thought he was he played tough in that fourth quarter after having a pretty ugly first three quarter. That's something that I've been impressed with quite a bit in the first handful of games here, is just Young's resilience, the ability to sort of play through things. When he struggles for a quarter, he seems to bounce back from that, and that was the case here. It has to be said that he wasn't very good in the first three quarters of this game. I thought he played well in the fourth quarter. Defensively, this is probably his worst game of the four. Not a huge shot at him. Dennis Smith kind of got wherever he wanted to go in this game, which isn't a huge indictment, I guess, because he's a good athlete. But, Young, it's a reminder that he probably isn't quite as far along as we might have thought defensively after the first couple of games. He wasn't absolutely awful or anything like that, so that's something that you can sort of foul away. But defensively, he had some bad moments in this game. But in general, I do think, the Young Doncic thing was the overarching story of this game. I guess I'll address that now. Neither guy played well. Doncic had a very, very good first quarter and nothing much after that. Young had a very, very good fourth quarter and nothing much before that. So it's almost a draw. I think, the numbers look better than they probably should on both cases. Doncic had 21 points and 9 rebounds. He wasn't efficient, but that was kind of misleading in the fact that he didn't play all that well, in my opinion. Young, same thing. 17, 5, and 4 seems like a pretty good stat line. He had a good quarter, and before that he wasn't so good. But, it's probably good in terms of my sanity that neither guy had this great game. For a minute there in the first quarter, I had all the makings, because Doncic had 12 points in the first 6 minutes. Young was really struggling, and the takes could have been flying fast and furious on Thursday morning. But considering the way that the game ended, probably things even out. I think it's probably best for everyone's sanity at this point in time that neither guy played great, neither guy played absolutely terribly. And we'll kind of just go from there. But I was happy to see that, just to save myself a little bit of the trouble of having to argue with some people. There was always too much made of one game, I would imagine, considering the ESPN platform and all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, Young had some nice moments, Doncic had some nice moments, and we'll call it a draw for now. Moving on from there, and we'll have plenty more on that, I'm sure, because people will always be asking me, and I'll be happy to answer whatever I think on that subject. But last but not least, Kent Bazemore, 32 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was 12 of 22 from the floor, 3 of 11 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Talked to him for quite a bit of time after the game. Bazemore was very good. I mentioned this before the game. Not before the game, but during the game on a number of different times. He was by far the best player on the court in this game on both sides. I think, Bazemore was consistent. He was the one guy I thought played reasonably well in that first quarter and a half for Atlanta. Everybody else was really struggling. And even then, Bazemore wasn't fantastic in that stretch, but he was really good in the second quarter, and then 15 points in the second half. He was just Mr. Solid all game long. There were times where I thought the Hawks asked him to do a little bit too much offensively, just because he had it going. But at the end of the day, he was still very efficient. 22 shots, 32 points. Can't really argue much about that. Got to the line, took 11 threes, but none of them were really bad shots. There might have been one or two that he rushed a little bit, but 3 of 11 is not disastrous. It's not great, but it's one of the spots where you'll take it from him, given all the other efficiency. He was plus 17, which is fitting, honestly, in a 7-point victory. He was the best player on the floor and was plus 17. And Bazemore, someone who I've always been a little bit higher on than the consensus, but after a little bit of an adjustment period, I think he was unfairly criticized a little bit for the first couple of games of the season because his box score numbers weren't great. But I think Bazemore's just that solid two-way guy. There are nights like this when he has the ball in his hands more often. I think it's not a coincidence that when Young was off the floor, Bazemore tried to do a little bit more. I think he's going to be trying to fill in and try to figure out what to do alongside a lead point guard like Young throughout the season. But I thought Bazemore was just fantastic. That's probably the best way to put it. He was best player on the court, and the Hawks obviously don't win this game without him. And he's capable with that every once in a while. 32 points is a little bit of an outlier for Bazemore. It wasn't wasn't a career high or anything, but that's I can count on one hand the amount of times that he's gone for 30 plus. But still, I thought Kent played very well, and that's sort of the simple way to put that. So at the end of the day, the Hawks get a win here. Nothing crazy about that result, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the podcast, but the way that it happened was pretty crazy. This is one of the longer recap pods that I'll ever do, but there was just a lot going on in this game. And of course, the home opener and extra eyeballs, so I wanted to go a little bit more thorough than I normally would for a game, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that breakdown. I know I probably threw a lot of information your way in a short period of time, so thank you for your patience on that. If nothing else, the Hawks will be in action again on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls. We'll see how that looks there. In fact, the Hawks might be favored in that game, considering how bad the Bulls have looked at times in the early going, and we'll definitely follow that away. The Bulls did get a win, though, on Wednesday, which sort of set the stage for a nice game on Saturday night. I'm sure it won't get nearly the level of attention nationally that it did on Wednesday night, but, you know, that's sort of the breaks throughout the season, and we'll be back again, probably from the arena that time around, to talk about that particular game. So please stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for me, you can fire them at me at BTRolled on Twitter or at LockedOnHawks on Twitter. I will be here throughout, I promise. And if nothing else, enjoy the rest of your week.